Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Wow. Mid-80s? How could you not have enjoyed this past weekend? Darren McFarland, that is me, down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick holding fort, as he's been the last two-plus months over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side in Bellevue. Marquise Munson back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, which is our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gents, how we doing?
Doing well, Darren. I was just watching our mayor address and give the numbers with his task force. And it's a very good news this morning. And so I think that's going to be my theme for the day, is keep up the good work. Keep doing what we're doing, and because we're seeing results here. We're still not out of the woods, and the next couple of weeks obviously are going to be really important, just relaying the message from the mayor and his group. But some good news, man. We're flattening this thing out, and so far so good in phase one.
Are the hair places open yet?
Nope.
Then it's not good news.
Sorry, bud.
I don't want to hear all this good news stuff. You can give me all that good news stuff.
Marquise is still going to have to wait. Marquise, he's still going to have to use the pick.
He has to keep buying new picks. They have to keep getting bigger.
They're going
to
get bigger and bigger, man. It's only going to get bigger.
There's no good news.
We're progressing. No, this is good news, is we're on course to get to phase two. That's the good news.
Right?
We're not there yet, but we got it. We're on our way. Like,
phase two means you can get your hair
out from base camp. We've moved from base camp up to the next flight. You know, we're on our way to phase two. We got to get to that spot.
I'm a loyal guy, but I'm about to cheat on my girl. I just am. I may just have to break down and go to Rutherford County and just somewhere here and get my hair done. I'm on the brink, man.
Come on, Darren. You can do this, man. Tuesday.
I'm at my breaking
point. You can
do
it.
Next Tuesday, because they're closed Monday. So you're so next Tuesday for
wait
sure. Just wait.
Is phase two next week?
I mean, it should be, isn't it? Every 14 period, like
I thought
14
it was
day
every
period?
2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know exactly. I didn't hear them say a specific date, but I know that they mentioned
well, in the layout.
That
I thought it was 2 weeks.
We are moving in the right direction. We're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, that's not good enough. Moving in the right direction. I mean, that's good, but that's just
not good enough.
What
else could it be?
Phase two starts Monday.
There's only one direction you can.
Phase two.
There's only one way to get to phase two, and that's moving in the right direction. It's not a sprint, Darren. We don't have 4.29 40 speed in the combine. Okay, we got to go step by step here.
At this point, my haircut is a sprint. It's becoming a sprint. It's no longer. I've been in a marathon.
Get the shears out. Get the sheep shears out at the McFarland house and just buzz it.
I did trim the beard this weekend.
You watch your mouth. I will not be doing that.
He cleaned up. He cleaned up for Tom Glavine. I noticed.
Did.
He looked very sharp for his interview with Tom Glavine, which we're going to hear part of coming up later in the show. But, Chase, I was curious if you're going to go with the UConn Cornelius look.
I did not. I was like, you know what? I'm going to – the guys were giving me a hard time about fanboying, and I was like, you know, I got to live up to that. So I fixed my hair up. I trimmed the beard. Wanted to look good for Tom Glavine.
Did you go business casual or what you
just
do?
Casual.
Just casual.
I had the nice T-shirt on. I didn't have a collared shirt, you know, but I did that. So it was a Friday night. I mean, he's having a nice glass of wine while we're doing this. So it's like, you know, it's laid back.
Kind of like Michael. Had a glass of something throughout these episodes. Didn't look like wine.
No, I don't know what that was. Something.
Probably expensive. High-end scotch or bourbon or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so Tom Glavine was awesome. We'll play some of that later on in the show, but it's on our Facebook page as well. Told a lot of stories.
Okay. We will play some of Tom Glavine, who was heard on game night, Friday night at 6 o'clock with Chase. So we'll play that at 1 o'clock so you'll get a chance to hear Tom Glavine. Really good stuff there. We're going to do a little moving around today. Vince Ferrara WNML in Knoxville, is filling in again on the midday show in Knoxville. So he is we're gonna push him to 10:15. So we will talk to him in about 10 minutes. His normal spot is when he will be on the air in Knoxville with their midday show. So we'll have Vince Ferrara coming up here in just a second. I mentioned The Last Dance, and it is The Last Dance because 10 episodes are in the books, and The Last Dance is over. What did you think?
So should we play Donna Summer's Last Dance? I think we might need that, Marquise. That's my,
sure,
my song request here.
That's
that was The Last Dance of The Last Dance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Good feel,
you know,
good
what?
Song.
I actually thought, I don't know if that was, those were my two favorites. It was so good from start to finish. It's not like they were bad or anything, but I wasn't like blown away. I thought they oversold the 7-game series against the Pacers, at least game 7 of the 7-game series. It was a great series. I remember watching it. I was watching live. I can remember vividly where I was when Reggie Miller pushed off and got the game-winning shot off and tied the series at 2. But, you know, they act like, you know, the Pacers really had the Bulls down and out when they were up by, what, 2 points with 6 or 7 minutes to go in game 7. It's like a 2-point game with 7 minutes to go is not a big
lead. Basketball, no.
You know, and they're saying Reggie Miller's trying to sell you that, you know, if a jump ball goes the other way,
yeah,
you know, I think we beat them. That'd be one thing if there was 1 minute left or
even
2 minutes
left. It was a 3-point game at that point.
Yeah, that's right. It's right. 3-point game.
Kerr hits,
but there was
three,
like 6 minutes left.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
And obviously, that's a big momentum play, but a lot of momentum plays happen in a 48-minute game. There's way too many possessions to say, if we win that jump ball and go down and score,
and go up five with 5 minutes to go, the game is over. Like, come on. A minute in basketball is a long time. 5 minutes,
yes,
feels like a quarter.
It's an eternity.
So.
Yeah. But it was good. It was very good, for sure. And you know what? You know what else? Maybe the one thing that I'm going to take from this in my mind, I did think for all these years that Michael Jordan pushed off more than he did against Brian Russell. That
like
angle,
all my stuff. You've stolen everything.
The angle that they show that I had never seen before,
yep,
I do think gives you a clear view that it was not a push off.
It was not.
And my apologies to all the people I've argued wrong with.
It's like we changed, we exchanged scripts today because that's literally, you almost took word for word out of my mouth. I was going to apologize.
So you guys always thought he pushed off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then that angle last night, watching that, I was like, huh, Jordan's right. He was forward momentum. He was going that way no matter what. Did he maybe nudge him? Give me a break. You can't call that. At the end of a game in the NBA Finals? No way. Like that. That was absolutely the right call. No call. And for all these years, yes, I have said Michael Jordan pushed off for that shot. And I was wrong. I take that back. I'm sorry. Willie, you were exactly right. I felt the same way.
I remember Charles Davis, our buddy Charles Davis, at the radiothon we used to do every year. One year he brought that up during the radiothon just for fun. Charles Davis was on the Bulls with Michael Jordan at one time. In fact, he was on the team that Michael Jordan hit the buzzer beater against the Cavs. Remember, you know, several episodes ago, the one that really makes the breakthrough, the first playoff series they ever won. So he was a teammate of Michael Jordan's, and he asked that question. And we had a huge debate during the radiothon, and at some point we went down the rabbit hole. We're like, wait a minute, we're trying to raise money here.
Yeah, got to get back on track.
You know, like we got sidetracked talking about that because we had so much fun debating that. But, yeah, that angle, where has that angle been all these years?
I don't know. I thought the same thing, Willie. I really did. I was like, wow, that to me tells the story. Like that is the best angle I have ever seen, and I changed my mind. Like that was the right call, no call. That is not a push-off. And all these years I did. I thought he basically shoved Russell out of the way and took the game-winning shot. And after seeing that, he did. Russell was he was going as fast as he could go,
yeah,
to the left.
Carried him.
And his momentum just carried him. I mean, he may have been helped a little bit, but he was committing to going right, or in his case, going left.
I know one thing, and Ryan and I were talking about this earlier, but the basketball at that time, defense is cool. What's wrong with defense? Defense is cool. I like the lower scoring games.
Well, how do you know? You're seeing clips. I mean, did you watch all four quarters?
It's the rules, though.
No. They're going to show game six. I'm going to watch
that. It's very.
What's that, Willie?
Well, not great. It all depends on what you like doing. But if you want to learn how the game has evolved.
The
reason the games were 85-79 has nothing to do with how well you can shoot. Those guys could shoot fine.
We may have to restart, Willie. Willie, you're going in and out on us. I'll tell you what I did.
85-79.
You're going in and out, Willie, so maybe during the break you may need to reboot, but I forgot about what was a game – I'm drawing blank. What was it, game three? The 42-point win? I forgot about that game.
I forgot about that one.
What did Utah score? 54 points?
Yep.
Jerry Sloan gets the box score and he's like, is this real? Was this tonight? Was this for a game? You know, his press conference. I forgot. I mean, I didn't remember it being that bad. And that was, by the way, a record that had never been done before in any NBA game. They said, forget the playoffs. 54 was an all-time low for an NBA game. And that happened in an NBA Finals.
I know. That was unbelievable. But, yeah, his reaction was priceless. Because I guess you lose track of – I don't know if he was being facetious or it felt like that
was
real.
Well, he was. He's just like, wow, what do I say? You know, I mean, think about having to do that press conference. Right. You just got blasted by 42. They almost beat you more than you scored in an NBA Finals game. I mean, what is a coach supposed to say?
I know. That was unbelievable. Were you guys surprised that John Stockton was the only one that participated in this? I was a little surprised that they didn't have Karl Malone. And I'm sure he was asked and just said he wasn't doing it.
And Brian Russell. I wanted to see Brian
Russell. Yeah.
I've always wondered, is it Brian Russell or Byron Russell? I always thought it was Byron Russell.
It's Brian with a Y.
Oh, but it said, okay, so it's Brian with a Y. Okay. I always thought it was Byron Russell. Okay, so it's Brian with a Y. Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to hear his side of the story. I'm sure he would have made the case that it was a foul, but that's fine. But I would at least like to hear him say it.
I know Marquise said earlier that the Stockton interview was actually done pretty late. It was a late addition to the documentary that most of the Jazz had said they weren't doing it, and then he did it late. So, but still, I mean, the things they showed with Karl Malone, I thought, you know, him coming on the bus and congratulating him and shaking Mike's hand. I mean, you don't see that stuff.
Great. That was pretty impressive.
That was all. Well, and that's the kind of thing that you just don't see today. I know it happens some. You know, I've seen after Preds games, you know, guys talking to each other after a battle and stuff like that. But just, you know, during the series, you know, they're leaving. Jordan's leaving, and Malone's sitting there waiting on him to shake his hand. After
well, no,
game.
That I think that was a press conference setting. That's what I took from that was them waiting to. They were next up for the press conference.
Yeah,
like
but
that,
still, to
that
even
stuff
talk.
Goes on all the time.
I think that's correct.
The jumping on the bus part, that's the one I was like, whoa, okay, that's interesting. Like, but sitting there waiting to do the press conference and coming out from behind the curtain, you've got that awkward moment. I mean, there should be
But isn't it easy just to walk by and not say anything?
Not Karl Malone's a classy guy. Michael Jordan, he had respect for him. Karl Malone, by the way, played a hell of a series.
That's what
gets lost in the shuffle. Karl Malone was awesome in that series, but, you know. No, I think he had a healthy respect for the mailman. I will just go on and say it and admit it. And, you know, it may be blasphemous, and that's fine. I thought these were my least two favorite episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think so, too.
I just didn't get into it.
I would have loved to have seen.
I wanted the finale to be like, you know, this is the end. I mean, I want it to be like Ozark, you know. I want it to be like some of the end of a season in Peaky Blinders. Like, I want the wow factor. And I just wasn't wowed. I wanted it to go out with a bang, and I don't know what that is, but I wanted to be a little bit more wowed at the end. And I just kind of sat there the whole time going, this is okay. It was my least favorite, if I'm being honest. Those two episodes were
my
least
favorite.
And it
was hard, I think, going back and forth – from 97 to 98, back and forth was a tough thing. thing to pull off with the timeline because you're not going back very far. And I agree with you guys. There was more perspective from the Pacers, who played him in the one series, than the Jazz, who played him back-to-back years in the finals. I wanted to see more from the Jazz somewhere besides Stockton. How were you supposed to guard Jordan? What was our philosophy last year as opposed to this year? I wanted to see more of that.
Yep. Yeah. All right. We'll come back. Vince Ferrar, we'll head east. We'll check in with him. We'll talk about the Vols. There's some really cool stuff going on their end, including Jordan Bone. If you didn't see the story, really cool deal. We'll talk about that and a lot more with Vince Ferrar next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. We head east. We're a little bit earlier than normal. Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, is filling in on the midday show this week, so he'll be on the air in his normal slot, time slot of high noon with us. Vince, how was your weekend?
It was very good. Obviously, we had live sports, so that made it even nicer, and you know, got a lot done this weekend too. So the weather was nice, so yeah, it was outstanding. Hope you guys had a good one, too.
Wow. Sounds like you put some check marks in some boxes this weekend. Good. Very good. I said maybe a blasphemous thing right before we came to you at the end of the last segment. I said that I felt like the last two episodes, and I think Willie said he agreed. I think. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I thought the last two episodes were my least favorite of the 10. What did you make of 9 and 10 last night?
You know, it's interesting. That did cross my mind a little bit too. I think it's like, you know, it's ranking things that you love, so it's not a disrespect type of thing. You know, if you love, you know, fill in the blank food and your, you know, wings or whatever, and you, there's 5-6 different places you go to regularly, whoever comes in fifth or sixth doesn't mean that you didn't like it. It's just not quite to the amazing level of some of the other ones. I do think so. Maybe just because there wasn't quite as much of the emotional attachment with MJ. I thought it was emotional with Steve Kerr. I don't think people are talking about that enough. His storytelling in losing his father and how basketball helped him compartmentalize, and then the story through the championship and the connection, the backstory of the fight with Jordan in practice, and how in the end they joked about it and celebrated another championship because of how clutch he was in the playoffs, and he was for multiple years. So I that was one of the more enjoyable parts of it. It was obviously so good. And just like with every show, I've taken pages of notes from all of those. But because it was more basketball-related, it maybe didn't have as many shocking moments. And they also, the director said that they just finished it on Thursday. So he hadn't admitted, I don't think, that they rushed through it. But I wonder if that may
interesting.
Have, yeah, he told Scott Van Pelt that they just finished episode 10 on Thursday. So I wonder if that kind of was a factor as well.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, and I didn't really factor that in. And now that you say it, that probably does make sense for, you know, well, and you too. I mean, the three of us lived the Jordan era. I mean, we weren't babies. We weren't kids. Chase was much, much younger, and we lived it. So, I mean, I don't really, you know, other than I already admitted, Willie and I both said the same thing without coordinating that before the show. We both, with this new angle, I mean, for years, you know, I've been accusing Brian Russell of being pushed off by Jordan, and after watching the episode last night, that was the right call, a no call. That was not a foul. And so that's the first time I've ever felt that way. But, you know, as for seeing, you know, the games, I mean, I watched them. I mean, I lived them. So I want to know the behind-the-scenes stuff. I want to know the stuff that I didn't know. And maybe that's a good point. Maybe that's why I didn't enjoy it as much. It was a lot more really basketball on the court stuff You're right. I did like the Steve. See, I do. That's what I want. Give me the Steve Kerr story. I didn't know that story. That's fantastic. I was definitely intrigued by that, but maybe that's a good point. Maybe there's just too much basketball in there, which, you know, we lived. We were adults then.
Absolutely. And we knew about Dennis Rodman. That was just spectacular to live that part of it. Him leaving to go be a part of the NWO and the WCW and do his thing and then be welcomed back afterwards because of how Phil Jackson treated him.
I kind of felt like Phil was ticked, though.
he was mad, but then obviously he no one reeled him in and could work around him like Phil Jackson.
Agreed. Yeah. By the way, and that's what I want to see. I want to see Dennis Rodman sneaking out of the United Center, right? Like, I want to see that. That's what I want to see, him running into the back hallways as the media is chasing him to his car. I mean, that's what I want. I love that. Really cool deal. Mother's Day was last weekend, and we're an ESPN affiliate here at 102.5 The Game, and I just thought it was a really cool story. I couldn't wait to bring it up to you today, but to see ESPN get Jordan Bone and his mom together, I guess in her living room, and surprise them with, his graduation, and Rick Barnes get on there, and the new chancellor? Yeah, I think the new chancellor get on there, and just a really cool moment because it meant so much for her to have Jordan Bone graduate. I mean, she lost it. It was fantastic. What a cool feature. If nobody's seen it, go back and check it out.
Absolutely, it was so well done. And this is another time, another example of during this period, you can find new ways to connect to your audience. And ESPN has done a very nice job, whether it's recognizing graduates, the seniors that didn't get to finish off their seasons, or a lot of people are doing a lot for high school seniors that are missing out on their final years, and now you're getting to see more of the human element stories. And Jordan Bone is a terrific kid, and obviously it meant. So meant the world to his mom that he was finishing out, and kind of looked like she had a sneaking suspicion of what was going down before that. But when it is so special and you want that so badly, the emotions oftentimes will overcome you. And Jordan's reaction to his mom's emotion made it also just so well done for everybody. UT is really good at these kind of things. They did it. Remember, they did it with Vescovi's parents, surprising him when they came in and surprised him. I think it was a Florida game this year. So UT doing these kind of things to impact families is really good. And I'm glad I got to be on ESPN and he was shown to be the good kid that now is a graduate as well. I thought it was outstanding and consistent with what he is like as a guy.
We had John Robinson, Titans general manager, on right after the draft. You had John Robinson on your show when you were helping fill in. What did you learn from that interview?
Well, first, he's a big fan of 47 brand t-shirts because he was on NFL Live wearing a Quebec Nordiques t-shirt. And I asked him about that, if there's a backstory. He just said, well, their t-shirts are the most comfortable. And the Nordiques had kind of Tennessee Titans-ish colors. And so he was bored one day and he bought it. He went with it and wore it on TV because that's what we do when we're working from home. So that was one little thing that was funny. I asked him about the backup quarterbacks, and he said, look, we just, we thought, hey, it's time to find out whether Logan Woodside and now adding Cole McDonald, the rookie as well, if they can play. And he said, we'll see how it goes, and there's always going to be veteran quarterbacks out there if we need to go in that direction. So I thought that was interesting because if you look just on name, a lot of people would feel like that is one of the most unproven backup QB situations in the NFL with what the Titans have. Also talked about the veteran presence and the competition of Jonathan Joseph and wanting to bring him in to compete with those guys. They feel like that he can still run. Said he's more of an outside corner, but can play some in the slot. And as much as teams are in nickel and dime coverages in the NFL these days, that flexibility is big. Obviously, asked him about Jadeveon Clowney. He laughed, and everybody asked him about Jadeveon Clowney, and he gave probably the same answer he gave you guys, and that's, hey, we've had discussions. We're staying in touch with him. He's not in any hurry to do anything right now. So we'll just keep monitoring that situation and see how that goes. And obviously about the fifth year options that they've had decisions on last year, not picking up Conklin this year, and not picking up Corey Davis, but picking up Adoree Jackson. And he pointed to the fact that, hey, the dollars were different. Each position has it. Brings a different dollar value and where those players are at. And that was kind of why they made the decision with Adoree and not with Corey Davis. So there was other things, but those were a couple of things that stood out.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara from over at WNML in Knoxville. So Vince, I know here in the coming days, athletic directors, I think from the SEC are going to vote on whether to open up facilities, I think June 1st, or maybe even push it back to June 8th or June 15th. And it does bring up a question in my mind, you know, what's safer for a college athlete at this point? And I feel like, I think if the news continues to be encouraging over the next week or two, I think you can do it. But I thought about this a lot. What's safer for a college football player? Going to work at the facility with the measures being taken that you should be taking with distancing and all of that, or going to Vinny's Workout World in Oak Ridge, you know, or whatever. So what do you think is going to happen there? What are you hearing? And do you feel like, you know, we're going to start seeing some college kids start working out as a group, small groups or something like that around June 1st?
I'd go to Vinny's Workout World, just so you know.
I was going to say, don't sleep on Vinny's Workout World. They're taking all the precautions. Buff is all get out, you know.
I feel like you're going down a dodgeball scene.
I would go to Vinny. I would go there, too.
You're starting to sound like Ben Stiller. I'm getting – where's this going?
The Italian cafeteria in Vinny's Workout World is no, I understand your point, Willie. And actually, there's already video of guys getting together to work out and kick those weights around. UT and some others put some of that video out. The guys are getting together and doing those workouts. I'm sure that's happening in the NFL. It's happening in college football. But the big thing, I think, the difference would be those are still typically small groups. Are they going to take every precaution of social distancing and all that? It's going to be imperfect. There's no doubt. But when you bring full teams in, now you're talking about getting them into smaller areas, and then you're talking about 100-plus kids plus personnel that needs to be there. That still, to me, looks like it would be one where even if you're taking all the precautions, it'd be a little bit higher of a risk. Now, fortunately for Tennessee here in Knox County, Friday there were no new cases, despite more people being out and more testing. So the news has been encouraging in the state and in other areas. I think Philip Fulmer was the only one that didn't approve of the June 1st return. I think his was June 15th. And maybe part of that is because, much like with you guys there, Knoxville hasn't opened all the way up yet, like a lot of the other counties around the state. So I don't think they wanted to have that look of, yeah, here we are, we're back and ready to go for football, but everybody else, good luck getting back open. I, So I think he took the conservative approach there. I would take the more conservative approach also in coming back. And if it's 2 weeks, if that makes the difference, then I'm all for that. I'd rather have everybody on board in 2 weeks than have any sort of staggering of it. And I think the SEC will do that and come back all together if possible.
Yeah, good points. I feel like we're going to spend the next few months probably talking about possible scheduling based on the hand we're dealt. And again, all we can do is knock on wood, be hopeful that we continue to get good news and people keep fighting this thing by doing what they can. But all that aside, I think you wrote a blog about the SEC and one way they could go scheduling-wise with a non-game conference schedule. I'm sorry, a nine-game conference schedule?
Yeah, and they're looking into this. This wasn't me just, bored putting it together and saying, hey, this would be great. Jimmy Himes, one of our afternoon hosts, reported that the SEC, one of the many things that they've at least discussed is the possibility if there needs to be an abbreviated college football season of playing a nine-game schedule, all conference games, and the ninth game being the 2021 crossover game that's already scheduled. So, which would make for some really interesting matchups for Tennessee. The Vols would host Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss to Knoxville this year. He's been back to Neyland Stadium, obviously, as an assistant in Alabama. It'd be his first time as a head coach of another program. Alabama at Florida, Auburn and South Carolina, some nice matchups. And what it does is that it would really change and vary the what the schedules are like in terms of their difficulty. Some teams already have difficult schedules, and you're just piling on. For Arkansas, they have to deal with everybody in the West. They have Tennessee. And now you're adding Georgia, the best team. And Arkansas is on a 19-game SEC losing streak right now. And now you're going to add Georgia to their schedule. And then the team that would have it the worst, guys, is Texas A&M. Texas A&M would be at Missouri. Okay, so you're going to have teams. Some teams are going to play five road games. Some are going to play five home games. Well, in addition to that, since the West teams would be adding the extra road game, this is a year for Texas A&M where their game with Arkansas in Arlington this year is deemed a, air quote, home game for them. So they're playing that home game in Arlington, not at Kyle Field. Texas A&M only has three SEC home games at Kyle Field as it is this year. And then you're adding another road game on top of that, which means out of the nine games that A&M would play in this scenario, they'd only have three at Kyle Field, and they're all in November. So whenever they'd add this extra game with Missouri, whether it's where a non-conference game is right now on the schedule or if it's in the open week, if they do either one of those two, because they don't have any of those in November, you'd be adding that road game to the beginning of the schedule, and they still wouldn't have an SEC home game until November and still only have three total. That's brutal. But this is the times, and this is the imbalance that we're going to get in sports. And the fairness aspect, you got to take a waiver on it, and I know people will still complain about it, but it's going to be some of the things that we're going to see when we get sports back. And who knows how many more of these types of things could happen around college football. But I thought that was an interesting scenario. And in my blog, I list all of those crossover games and other teams that have challenges. I thought it was fascinating that the SEC is considering this type of a model and at least discussing it. Don't know if they're going to put it into place.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville. And Vince, I'm curious of, and you're going to be hosting Middays this week, of just what kind of talk NASCAR is going to get. You're obviously in the footprint of the Bristol Motor Speedway, so there is a, and they're coming there at the end of the month they're going to make that race up. But with its return yesterday, I'm just curious of the interest level from people in your market.
I think we'll get calls. We have a weekly racing show on Saturday mornings that returned this past Saturday. Dr. Gary Punch, who's spent many years in racing and still brings great insight, does an hour on the afternoon show with us on Monday. So we talk racing and he takes racing calls during that hour. It's not like it's just crickets and people, you know, want to call about Tennessee football. They still will call, and talk to him about it. It's trickled in, I guess, throughout the day typically. Otherwise, it'll be interesting to see today if we'll get more calls on it. I'm guessing it will, because I know a lot of people, myself included, spent more time. I watched the entire race. Sometimes with other things going on, football or baseball or whatever, you don't spend the whole there watching the whole race. So I watched more of it, and I would imagine there were a lot of other people that maybe had more of an interest and were captivated by it. I think this will be a good test study today and moving forward. Obviously, Wednesday they're back at it. Saturday they're back at it. So maybe they'll create more of an audience. But typically we do get some interest, and it would be great for the sport if this gives them a jolt and gets new eyes into the product, even in this market.
And then I know you do an MMA show as well. UFC's been back for a week. They've already had three events in the last 8 days, and I watched a majority of them. I didn't really see much of Wednesday, but I watched this past weekend. So what's been your take on how the UFC has done everything so far with no fans and having the event in Jacksonville?
Well, Chase, it's a similar model to what NASCAR is doing, right? Three events in 8 days. And NASCAR is similar to that. So I think the biggest takeaway is that they pulled it off and we haven't heard of any incidents. Obviously there was one fighter that tested a positive for COVID-19. He was removed and that was the biggest thing. That was prior to their event last Saturday. And we didn't hear of anything else before. As long as that continues, and none of the whatever new cases of positive tests come up, if none of them are connected back to anyone he may have been in contact with, then it's going to be continued to be viewed as a success. I thought it was very entertaining. Their numbers for last Saturday, I haven't seen for this Saturday, but last Saturday were up. They were good. They had huge pay-per-view buys. It wasn't out of this world in ratings, but I thought they pulled off three very entertaining nights. In the main event, Anthony Smith, who lost to Glover Teixeira on Wednesday's event, he was just getting absolutely bashed. And before the fifth round in the corner, you could hear him say that my teeth are loose, something to that effect. So the guy was just getting battered, and I thought his corner should have ended the fight there. So there was a little bit of controversy there, but really the way they executed it all, the sound of the broadcast, the quality of it, all went really well. I think it was a big win for the UFC, and we'll see where they do the next event, but I thought it was enjoyable to watch as a sports fan and a MMA fan as well.
Wasn't that the fight where the fighter picked up his teeth and handed them to the ref, and everybody thought, what just happened? Because they didn't know he picked up teeth, and they're like, "Did he just give him a bribe or something? Did he just hand him money? What?" And the ref just put something in his pocket. It was his teeth. Was that the fight you were talking about?
I think so. Yeah. I didn't see that, but the one time I was in the mouthpiece, and the ref just stuck it back in his mouth. But that's a different.
This one was funny because everybody kind of jumped, to the conclusion on Twitter, Did he just hand the ref something he put in his pocket? This fight is fixed. And then, of course, the story comes out. Yeah, that was his teeth.
Yeah.
Which gave everybody a good laugh. Vince, good stuff as always. Have some good shows this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
You guys do the same. I always enjoy talking to you. Thanks.
All right, that is Vince Ferraro, the Sports Animal, WNML. There in Knoxville, he's at Vince Sports on Twitter. Back to wrap up the first hour next. Well, or last night. We know a lot of you are working from home during all this. You can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. That's an option. Enable Alexa Skill or Google Home. Ask it to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. How does that music just makes you feel good, right? That gets you in a good mood, in my opinion. By the way, we will have Adam Alexander, who covers the sport of NASCAR, Fox on NASCAR. And as we just alluded to, they did come back, and they're going to be running a very heavy schedule here, just like UFC. Once they've come back, they have been pumping out fight cards and a pay-per-view card. Feels like every other day, or at least every third day. NASCAR is really not going to be much different. They ran their race yesterday at Darlington. They've got today off. Xfinity will be running tomorrow. And then there's another cup race on Wednesday. And then they'll be right back at it again this weekend. So a lot of activity on Fox and FS1 in the coming weeks. So we'll talk to Adam Alexander what he thought. And, of course, Kevin Harvick got the win. And I'll just be flat out honest in watching these sports come back and with no fans in the stands. It really hasn't affected my viewing. It really hasn't. There is no takeaway for me. Now, you know, maybe in a playoff setting, that would be a little bit different. I guess we'll get our challenge. You know, I guess it'll challenge me to still feel the same way if that's indeed, you know, if hockey and the NBA come back and they're in their playoffs and we don't see any fans in the stands, then maybe I'll have a different take. But right now, from what I've seen, watching a UFC fight, or watching the race yesterday, the fans not being there really didn't change much for me.
Yeah, it didn't really change it. It was weird at first, but it didn't really change it much for me. The part that I really noticed it was at the end when Harvick got out for celebration. I mean, they didn't really show Victory Lane. He got out and did a front stretch interview with Regan Smith, and you know that's, and he even pointed that out. He goes, okay, now this is weird. This is weird that, like, there's nobody here. But that's the only time that it really stood out to me.
Well, they showed him coming out, getting out of his car in Victory Lane, and he's got a mask on, and he gets up on his door, and he's raising his hands, and there's nobody around him. It's just weird.
Yeah.
You know, usually that's when they're getting mobbed, and there was nobody around him. So, but, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a little weird, but, I mean, it doesn't – to me it didn't change – it didn't enhance – or serve as a deterrent, either. You know what I mean? Either way, it didn't do anything for me. It was like, okay, this is what it is right now.
Yeah, and by the way, he's gonna use the same car on Wednesday.
Really?
They took it to the shop, and they're gonna get it fit, ready to go for Wednesday. And he's gonna use. I mean, why not? He just won in it, so.
Well, he said you can get your face on the hood too.
Yeah,
Busch Light.
Yeah, that's for next week. That's for Charlotte that they'll put the face on. But,
that's not gonna be for Wednesday?
No.
Okay.
No, it'll be the same. I think it'll be the same paint scheme. But
you know, guys, I noticed just from my angle, not being one that follows the sport closely, but I sort of saw what you did, Darren. I've been to these races, right? You really can't hear the crowd very well anyway because the engines are so loud. You know, if you've never been to a race, you rarely can hear the crowd get up to the level of noise above the loud sound of the engines. And so it wasn't going to, especially from a television viewing point, be that different. I was curious to see how the broadcasters adjusted because they were in a studio. I thought they did a really good job. Of course, they have all those camera angles.
Tell.
They can look inside the car. Yeah, I thought they did a really good job. I'd love to pick their brain about, you know, if any adjustments had to be made there. But I thought it was good. And I thought it was important that they showed, A, that they were really trying to single out all the health workers, the frontline workers. I thought they did an excellent job of that. And everybody on pit road was wearing the mask. And I thought that was very important to set the example there and do the right thing. So I thought they did a good job. They took advantage of the space they had available. You know, I think they realized right ahead, and Chase, you pointed this out a long, long time ago, that they had the opportunity to do this maybe quicker than others. I thought they set a very good example.
Yeah, and to go back to the whole studio aspect of it, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell at all that, you know, that they were back at Charlotte, not at the track. I thought that it was seamless, and then Regan Smith did a great job being the only reporter there on the ground of having to cover it all. And so, and it was also good that they had a former driver be that person, because he was almost like another analyst to go along with Larry Mack and Jeff Gordon. So I thought that that was well done. So I couldn't really tell the difference in them being at the track and being at the studio. Adam Alexander will have to do that tomorrow for the Xfinity race, because he's the play-by-play for Xfinity. And so he'll I'm sure he was taking notes, and we'll be able to ask him about that in a few minutes. But kudos to NASCAR and Fox for pulling this off, because it was a great race. I have a lot of heartbreak for Jimmy Johnson leading the race and spinning out. But also, I don't know if you guys saw this, that that during the race, they actually told the spotters that they need to spread out a little bit more. They had the spotters in a different location than usual to give them more room.
Good.
And they were, I guess, a little too close together. So NASCAR told the spotters they need to practice better social distancing. So I thought that was interesting.
To your point, Darren, I do think
we're going to see a different we are going to see different reactions to different sports. It's going to seem different for some sports as opposed to NASCAR. Don't you agree? I mean, we're still going to watch. It's better than not having them at all, which I find surprising that some people are out there going, forget this, man. This isn't – just move on to the next season. Let's not worry about it. I don't want to watch. I'm not interested. I've seen some sentiment with that with some fans for particular sports. I don't get that. Like, give me something. It's better than nothing. But I do think NASCAR translates very well based on the situation we're dealt.
I'd love to talk to those people. Why would you say that?
Like,
what's the point in that? I mean, so to me, it's like, are you really a sports fan? I would question, does the sport have any chance with you anyway? So what difference do you make? Because it doesn't sound like
if it's strictly for safety, then I get that. That's a valid argument if that's how you feel about it. If you want to just err on the side of total caution, okay. But just from it doesn't mean as much, you know, let's not play because it's just not the same, then I'm not buying into that.
Well, if it's for caution, then you've got a lot of beefs these days, because people can go back into restaurants and sit down and eat. And I just saw where the California beaches have opened back up. I mean, you got a lot of beefs if that's your case, because there's a lot of places you can go that you can say that you're not happy with because you don't feel like it's safe or smart. And that's fine. That's your prerogative. But just to simply, I don't know why anybody would say, hey, I don't know why sports is coming back and attempting this. That doesn't
because some people just want to get on Twitter and complain, because that's all they do.
I was going to say, you probably would never have them anyway, so I wouldn't even worry about those people.
Yeah, there's just some people that all they do is complain. Like, nothing's good enough. You know, I was interacting with a couple people yesterday that were like, this is the broadcast isn't good for NASCAR. This is just awful. I'm like, why? What's wrong with it? Like, there are no fans. That's it.
Well, what was so awful? I mean, by the way, you know, Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon doing it from, a studio in Charlotte?
Yeah, they were doing it where they've done the iRacing. It's in the Hall of Fame building in downtown Charlotte.
Okay.
And like I said, I couldn't tell. I mean, they had everything available to them that they have at the racetrack, except they couldn't look out the window and see the race. But, you know, a lot of the broadcast locations at these tracks – you got to watch a monitor anyway. So it wasn't like that big of a deal for them to do it that way. And I had access to the media center that they gave to the media, because I'm a member of the NASCARmedia.com. And it was just like being at the track. You had all the telemetry, and you had the running order, and you had any notes from NASCAR. And so it wasn't that big of a deal, except you just weren't able to look out the window and see race cars.
Yeah, I completely agree. I thought Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon did a fantastic job. Regan Smith is the pit reporter. I mean, he was the only one there on site, and I thought it was done well considering the circumstances. I mean, I think what we have learned through all of this, has there been any problems with anything like pulling it off? I mean, I think we all wondered, how in the world is this NFL draft going to work and look like? We came out of it that Monday going, okay, that was good. Okay, it worked. That was really good. And then the UFC And, you know, golf had an event, you know, not with everybody, but a small event this weekend. And now NASCAR, I mean, as things come, it's like, okay. Has there been anything you've seen you're like, oh, my gosh, this is embarrassing that they're trying to do this? No. The answer is no.
Not with pulling off the logistics of the event. I agree with you on that. They've done a very good job trying to pay attention to detail and try to work within the guidelines. As long as they're doing that, I think it's good. Let's just keep going step by step.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Wrong.
Which boy
wrong.
Band is that? Step by step.
New Kids on the Block.
I get my boy bands mixed up. All right, good for you. You nailed it. Adam Alexander.
Yeah, I think your wife, Lauren, would be very disappointed
I hope she's not listening.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, she would be very angry. We will talk to Adam on the other side to kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.